averaging a record-shattering Ukraine after a key bridge connecting Russia to Crimea.
This crisis is freezing the water. We have nuclear weapons, enough weapons to destroy the world.
President Biden said last week that no new possibility of session is now under 125 people.
Now, before we get into the message this morning, let me just encourage you to be praying for a couple of folks. I don't know if you remember last week we mentioned, maybe I didn't mention it this service. It might have happened a little bit later, but a good friend of ours had collapsed over at the Transformation Church during their service and had to call in the medical personnel, and he did go home that next day. But then it happened yesterday again, and he passed away. Tim Luzinski, I don't know if you know Tim or not. He's just a great guy. He always attended the Lighthouse up on Saturday morning, played the bongo drums up there, and also for their church over there. And just a good guy. So he went home to be with the Lord yesterday. So be praying for his family. Also, we lost a longtime member here at First Church. Ruth Heverly, I don't know if you remember Ruth. Ruth Heverly, she's been in the Lutheran home for a number of years now, but she was 102, and so she lived a good long life, and so be praying for Phil and for their family as well. Let's pray before we get into the Word. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day you've given us. Bless us, Lord, as we study. Help us, Lord, to be excited about being a disciple, Lord, a learner, someone that sits at your feet, Lord, and listens and applies your wonderful word to our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with these dear families, certainly with Tim's family at his passing, with Ruth's family, Lord, as she's gone on to be with you. And we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to love and to care about them, and certainly, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you were with us last week, you'll know that we started a brand new teaching about how God has moved in the past and how he still moves today. That he is the eternal God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the God who referred to himself as the I Am, the always present one, the one that is always in touch with us and who he wants us to be. Today I'd like to shift gears and add a second layer to this idea that God is the God of always. Last week it was that he was, he was always there with us. He never changes. Today, I would like to talk to you about how he's always hearing. You know, I don't know if you're like this, but have you ever noticed how many times you receive an invitation? You know, maybe an invitation to a birthday party, maybe an invitation to a to some kind of meeting. You know, some kind of invitation to go out and celebrate someone, or just to go out and to be together with someone that you care about. You know, maybe a birthday party for a grandkid. You know, we never miss those, do we? But life is a lot of times about invitations. But not just invitations like that. We also receive invitations like, for example, I went to the mailbox the other day and I had a piece of mail from someone, and I opened it up, and it said that I had been pre-approved for a loan up to $500,000. I thought, man, I couldn't wait to call that number and, you know, and take advantage of that. You know, you get invitations, you get invitations like that, or you get an invitation from maybe your credit card company that says, hey, we're willing to increase your debt limit on your card. You know, you get all kinds of things. You get all kinds of things like that. I remember when I was a youngster, we had a neighbor whose name was Mr. Sizemore, Hayden Sizemore, and he wasn't a churchgoer. And I remember one day he got something in the mail from the church that his wife was a regular attender for, and inside it was this little round wooden disc with a letter that said, "Now that you've got around to it, please come to church." And I looked, and the little round disc said, "Round to it." So he got around to it, and they're saying, you know, we're giving you an invitation, you know, to come to church. Life is a lot of times about invitations. And folks, there's no more beautiful, no better an invitation than the invitation that God gives us to speak to Him. To speak to Him in prayer. You know what a beautiful blessing it is to have the invitation to know Him and to communicate with Him and to grow in relation with Him and to be in His presence in such a way that we understand His love for us and His care for us. Matter of fact, the Bible has so much to say about this. Just a couple of verses. 1 Chronicles 16 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name." Psalm 18 says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord, to my God. I cried for help to Him." Jeremiah 33, one of my favorite verses, and I hope it's yours too. "Call to me all, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know." And then, of course, the beautiful passage in the New Testament in Acts 21, and it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What an invitation given to all of us from God. An invitation to call on Him. An invitation to pray to Him. An invitation to be cared for by Him. To be his disciples. It's not enough just to believe in Him or to be a follower, but He wants us to be a true disciple. You know, now we give this lip service, don't we? We pray over our meals. You know, we throw up a prayer to God for our children, for their safety now and again. We ask God to change someone around us when really God is wanting to change us. I mean, we pray when confronted with an emergency or with a health concern. We'll take those things to the Lord. But the regular practice of prayer, I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves and with God, the regular practice of prayer is many times difficult. It's hard. We ask questions like, "What should I pray for? How long should I pray? What do I need to be praying for? And if God already knows what I'm going to pray about, why do I even need to ask Him? Why does it even matter?" You know, I'm convinced that so many Christian people talk about praying a whole lot more than they actually pray. You know, when we're confronted and we're asked to lift up a prayer for somebody, and we immediately say, "Sure, I'll pray about that," but do we? I mean, when someone comes to our mind and we think about their well-being, do we actually follow through on that and pray for them? I mean, you combine the natural difficulty in praying with the fact that we have an enemy that the greatest thing that he does to combat us is to get us not to pray, or not to pray sincerely, or not to pray expectantly. And when you couple those two things together, then we can see how difficult that this could be. Now, here's what I want to do today. I want to look at a couple of passages, a couple of chapters, really, in the Old Testament. And there's some really interesting insight in prayer from this passage, principally from 2 Kings 19 and 20. But I want to begin in 2 Kings chapter 18. Before we get to these chapters in 19 and 20, I want to show you what it says about this king, about Hezekiah, in 2 Kings 18, 5 and 6. I have it here for you. It says, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. Isn't that awesome? I mean, think about this, that he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was no one else like him in all of Judah. Now, you're going to see why this is so important, this idea of prayer, in his life in just a few moments. But I want you to notice here that he was stellar in his reputation with the people because of his relationship with God. You know what, folks? There's nothing more indicative of a powerful and dynamic and a good relationship, whether it's with God or with your wife or with your children or with your best friend or with anyone else. There's no better indication of that good, powerful relationship than open and honest communication between you. And certainly that's exactly what prayer is. It is open and honest communication between us and God. And here's the thing, folks. God gives us an invitation to talk to him and to pray with him each and every day. Now, if you go to these two chapters in 2 Kings 19 and 20, let me say a couple things to you. And I'm not going to read because this is a really long, extended passage, but you can look at it there and you can follow along and see if what I'm saying to you is totally accurate. And I can assure you that it is. 2 Kings 19 and 20 is about this king, Hezekiah, and a couple of prayers that he prays to God. In these two chapters, there's recorded two prayers that Hezekiah prays to God. The one prayer is a prayer asking for God's deliverance from his enemies, namely Sennacherib. Isn't that a great name? Sennacherib. You know, I thought when I was reading about this week, I thought, you know what? If I ever get another dog, I'm going to name him Sennacherib. You know, I thought first, you know what? If I ever have another kid, I'm going to name him Sennacherib. But I know that's not going to happen. Okay, so if I ever get another dog, I'm going to name him Sennacherib. But here, Hezekiah is praying to God, and he's saying, God, notice my enemies. Notice how they're coming against me and against your chosen one. Hezekiah seems to say to God, well, doesn't seem to say to God, he does say to God, verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed before God and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear to me, O Lord, and hear my prayer. And what is his prayer? His prayer is, God, I'm kind of in a bind. I've got an enemy that's coming against me. And when you read this prayer that Hezekiah says to God, what is God's response? God sends word through the prophet, says, tell Hezekiah that I hear him and that I will be his deliverer. That's the first prayer. The second prayer in these two chapters is not a prayer of deliverance from his enemy, but it's a prayer for his health. Hezekiah hears from the prophet. The prophet tells him, I got some bad news, Hezekiah. You're going to die. So Hezekiah does as he's always done, was that he takes this before the Lord and he asks for God's help, for God's strength, for God's healing, for God's deliverance. And you know what's really interesting about that second prayer? The second prayer, it's obvious that God hears his prayer and he sends word back to Hezekiah through the prophet again, and he says, I've heard your prayers and now you're no longer going to die. That you are going to recover. And that's exactly what happens in Hezekiah's life. You know what, folks? When I read these two passages, number one, that Hezekiah prayed about these things as he did about all things. And number two was that God responded to his prayer. But what I really want to point out here is what I want to refer to as Hezekiah's healthy prayer. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life that I probably prayed some unhealthy prayers. You know? I mean, have you ever bought a lottery ticket and asked God to be with you as you purchase this ticket, Lord? You know, have you ever prayed about a situation that you didn't pray according to God's will, but you prayed according to your will? You ask God for things according to what you want, what you think you need, the outcome that you desire. You see, there is such a thing as unhealthy prayer. But I want to describe what Hezekiah does here as healthy prayers. When you look at these prayers and the things that he asked for, you realize right away that Hezekiah knew and understood that prayer is not some magical chant that we do in order to get what we want. But that prayer is to bring us into the presence of God, to get us in line with what God wants to do for us. You know, the other day, Arlene, I came over to the church, and she said, honey, get me something to drink out of the vending machine. Our youth have a vending machine down in the youth room, and it has, I don't know, 10 or 12 different kinds of soda in it. I said, what do you want? She said, well, I just want a regular Coke. So I came over and I put the money in the machine and I pushed the numbers for regular Coke and said, beep, make another selection, which means it's out. I said, okay, well, not a regular, maybe she wants a regular Pepsi. So I pushed the numbers for regular Pepsi, beep, make another selection. Okay, well, I know she doesn't drink diet, so hey, Dr. Pepper, she'll drink that. Dr. Pepper. Beep, I hope Alex hears this. You need to fill this machine up downstairs, Alex. No Dr. Pepper. No Coke, no Pepsi, no Dr. Pepper. I'm trying to think about the other things that it didn't have. But finally, I punched in Cherry Coke, and there it was. You know, and I went over, and she said, oh, I didn't want a Cherry Coke. And I said, well, honey, that's what God wanted for you, okay? Right? I mean, a lot of times, talking about healthy prayer and unhealthy prayer, a lot of times we get confused about what we want, what we desire, what we need, what we deserve in life. When reality, a healthy prayer is God. Here's the thing. There were other times that God's people prayed for deliverance and they didn't receive it. There's other times in the Bible where there's instances where people prayed for physical healing, but it was not received. Now, it was received here. You see, that's my definition of a healthy prayer. A healthy prayer is praying in the will of God, for His will to be done. So when we come to these passages, Hezekiah knew who he was. He knew what God wanted from him, and he made sure that he prayed within the will of God. You know, sometimes I think we go through these times in our life when our prayer resembles a dead spot in phone coverage. You ever gone through a dead spot? You ever gone through that area where there's just not any coverage? I always laugh when I look at the advertisements for cell phone coverage, and it says nationwide digital, and they got the entire nation lit up, and it's like, you know, I've been a lot of different places, and I don't think that map is accurate. You know, there's lots of dead spots, and you know what? A lot of times, that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in that place where our words don't seem to be getting through. But here's the thing, you know what, folks? When I find myself in a dead spot and my phone doesn't work, most of the time, I knew it wasn't going to work from there. I travel a lot between here. When I'm going over on the other side of town, I'll go up and cross Avalon Road and down through Mill Run. And when I turn right on Mill Run there, from the top of that hill all the way down past the culvert there, my phone just will not work. There is absolutely no signal whatsoever. I can't tell you how many times I've driven through there, and I've been in the middle of an important phone call, and I'm like, beep, and it's gone. It's like, John, look where you are. Okay? I mean, I knew it was coming. I knew it was going to happen, but there I am anyway. And a lot of times I think we go through dead spots, but most of the time those dead spots are known to us. Therefore, we should make sure that we stay away from those. So here's the thing. Let me give you two things that will help you understand and to realize when you're headed into a dead spot. Number one, make sure that you remember. Two of the most important things to remember. Number one is God wants to hear from us. God wants to hear from us. He wants to voice our desires, our needs, even our wants. He wants us to share with Him our foibles, our difficulties, our problems. He wants us to confess our sins that so easily entangle us. He wants us to admit to Him our dead spots when we know that we are not practicing the spiritual disciplines needed to maintain a beautiful, connected life to Him. A lot of times people have always said, you know, why in the world does God want us to pray when He already knows what we want, what we need, what we desire? He's the God of knowledge. He knows everything. He knows forwards and backwards. He knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. Why do we need to voice all of this to Him in prayer? Because He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our voice. He wants us to share with Him our deepest and darkest secrets. You see, that's why here that Hezekiah needed to say, God, I've got an enemy. I got an enemy that's about to overtake me. I need your help. I mean, could God have intervened in that situation without Hezekiah's prayer? Of course. But when Hezekiah prayed it and God answered that prayer, then Hezekiah knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what God's will was for his life in this situation, and that God was with him during this time. Listen, folks, God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from us as much as he's ever wanted to hear from anybody. Not just the king, not just the disciples during Jesus' time. I mean, when the Apostle Paul prayed that God would take from him this thorn in the flesh, and God said, you know, no, my grace is sufficient for you. God still wanted to hear Paul's prayer. God wanted to hear his pleading for deliverance. Because that's the way that he came to understand that even though it was not taken from him, that God's grace was going to be sufficient for him. That's the first thing. And here's the second thing. God wants us to know that he is listening. If you go back to the prayers of Hezekiah in 2 Kings 19 and 20, you'll notice that during both of these prayers, with his prayer about Sennacherib and his deliverance from him and his health, both times God let him know that he heard his prayer and that he was answering his prayer. Listen, folks, you and I, we need that today. We need to know that God wants to hear our prayers. He wants to hear from us. And also, God wants us to know that he is listening. You know, every so often when our preachers are together and praying, like we did this morning, every now and then there'll be something going on in one of the pastors' lives, and we'll say, you know what, let's pray for such and such. And a few times when that's happened, one of the pastors who would kind of lead out in this, and he'd say, you know what, let's just pray for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Let's just pray for them. Let's just say our prayers out loud all at the same time. So let's just pray to God. And you know what? Traditionally, that's not been my tradition. You know, I've not been in a lot of places where everybody prays all at once. But you know what? There's absolutely nothing about that that prohibits God from being able to hear every prayer, every word, every syllable that's being prayed. I know when that happens in our group and we've got, you know, 20, 25 people, and everybody's praying at once. And you know, in my mind, it sounds chaotic. And to some extent, it's difficult if you're not used to doing that. It's difficult to pray with everybody else praying at the same time. But you know what? There is nothing about that that prohibits God's ability to hear every prayer, every word, every syllable, even every thought that people are praying about. It's always just been amazing to me that we serve a God that is so powerful that he can literally hear the millions and millions, maybe even billions of people around the world that are praying at any given time, and that he can hear each and every one, and that he can respond to each and every one. And each and every person can come away from that time of prayer to God and realize that they were speaking to God as if they had his undivided attention to their situation and to their life and to their prayer. Listen, folks, God wants us to know that there is no limitation to his ability to hearing our prayers. He can listen to each and every one. And you know what? As I study and as I think about Hezekiah, I think, you know what? His prayers are very similar and pretty much indicative of our prayers. What do we pray about? Well, we pray about enemies. We pray for strength to stand up to our enemies, to fight against our enemies. We pray that God's word would be true, that no weapon that is formed against us can ever prosper when we seek Him as we should. My prayers are similar to Hezekiah's. I pray about enemies. I pray about people and things that are coming against. You do too. And the word from God here is twofold to us as it was twofold to Him. God wants to hear from us. You know, a lot of times our enemies is what keep us from praying. Because they're too strong. They're too influential. They have too much power. They have too much insight. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough weapons. We don't have what it takes to stand against such a strong enemy. And like Job, we look at our life and everything has fallen apart. And we wonder, what power do I have to overcome? But God restored Job many times over. God wants you to know that He wants us to speak and to share our prayers with Him, but He also wants us to know that He is listening and that He will answer our prayers. I'll never forget one time somebody shared with me that God principally answers prayers three ways. Number one, yes, I couldn't wait for you to ask. There's things that God is just waiting for you to ask for, and He is willing and ready to give it absolutely immediately. Things like salvation. Dear Lord, please save me. Oh, I'm just waiting for you to ask. He says, come to me all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you strength. Dear God, give me strength for today and hope for tomorrow. I was just waiting for you to ask. You know, a lot of times God is just waiting for us to ask. And He says, yeah, the answer is yes. I just couldn't wait. I was just waiting for you to ask. Or number two, they said that God sometimes says, not now, but maybe later. You know, those are the answers of prayer where we ask God to do something and He says back to us, you know what, the timing's not right. It's not the right time. It's not the right season. There's things in the Bible you can see where people prayed for things for years or even decades before they were answered. Sometimes God says that to us. And then the third way was that He says, no, I love you too much. Yes, I couldn't wait for you to ask. Not now. The time is not right. Or absolutely not. I love you too much. But whatever that answer is from God, He wants us to know that He is listening and that He is answering our prayers. You know, as we come to the conclusion here of our message, I just want to say that when you come to the conclusion that God is always hearing a message about prayer, I think the conclusion, our final thought, should be a couple of things about confession. About a time or a moment where we search our hearts for sin against God. And we reflect on that sin and on His forgiveness that He certainly offers. John says in his epistle, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, there's probably not a greater sin that a Christian commits than when he neglects the blessing of prayer. The Bible says that to him who knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. That makes our inability and reluctance to pray a sin. You see, that passage that John shares about confession and faithfulness and forgiveness is good because it causes us to reflect on our life. Hezekiah reflected on his health. He reflected on his strength as he opposed his enemies. And if you noticed, we don't have the specifics behind what he prayed for. He just simply gave these things to God. He didn't know what to pray. He didn't know, what exactly was going to happen. But he knew that he needed to pour out his heart to God in confession. So as we learn from this king of old today, let's also understand that sometimes that we can be broken by our circumstances. And then we can get to the point where we don't know what to pray for or how to pray. But as Paul says to the Romans in Romans 8, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So maybe that's where we end today, just saying, God, help me, know my heart, know what I need, and give me what I need according to your will rather than according to my desires. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, Father, for this wonderful day that you've blessed us with. God, we live in a life of invitations. Invitations from loved ones and friends. Invitations, Lord, from strangers. Invitations from institutions. But Lord, may we not walk past this invitation today from you. An invitation to call unto you. An invitation to talk with you, Lord. An invitation to share our heart and our deep desires with you, Lord, in prayer. An invitation, Lord, to pray. We thank you for what we learned from King Hezekiah. The Lord, he showed us what a healthy prayer was. That he taught us, Lord, the two most important things about prayer. That you want to hear from us and that you want us to know that you're listening. So God, help us. Help us to have those kinds of healthy prayers in our own life as we seek you, Lord. And today, may these next and last few moments in this service, Lord, be a time of prayer, a time of confession, where we, Lord, confess our sins to you and know, Father, that you are faithful and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us, Father, from all sin and all unrighteousness. And, Lord, we know that there is no greater disobedience than, Lord, not to call out to you as you've invited us to about everything in life. Father, may we learn that lesson well. In Jesus' name, amen.